Nesbitt. One touch pass down low for Lane. Back in front for Nesbitt. He shoots and scores!
Nesbitt shoots it in front. Danford deflection. Rebound. Lane shoots and scores!
Fun, affordable family entertainment, exciting hockey, and much more. You don't want to miss a second of Atlanta Gladiators professional hockey at the Infinite Energy Arena. For tickets and more info, visit AtlantaGladiators.com. Welcome to the Power Play on Business Radio X.
Welcome to Power Play, the monthly radio show and podcast of the Atlanta Gladiators here on Business Radio X, broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Team President Scott Henrichsen. The Atlanta Gladiators are Atlanta's ECHL professional hockey franchise. We play our home games at the 10,000-seat Infinite Energy Arena with a season that spans from October through April. Each month on this show, we're going to take you behind the scenes of the Gladiators, introduce you to many of our business partners and sponsors, and talk about a lot of exciting promotions that we'll be offering this season. With that, I'd like to welcome to the show today Melissa Gunderson from Morsels by Melissa and Bill Schindler from Hyperbaric PHP. Thank you for taking the time to be my guest on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think we'll just sit here and have a roundtable conversation like we did last month, and just kind of talk about your businesses and what you're doing in the community and what makes you different or special. And maybe Melissa, we'll start with you. What is Morsels by Melissa?
Morsels by Melissa is a catering company here in Atlanta. I started in Norcross, Georgia, and moved up to Duluth about 10 years ago. And we are slowly growing. We're about to open a restaurant up at Mall of Georgia. We're very excited about that, looking at February, March for that. We do family meals, so we make it easy on you if you don't feel like cooking. You know, we make it nice and fresh, and you can feed your family. And we also do all kinds of catering for any event you need.
Cool.
Corporate, private.
Tell me about the name Morsels by Melissa. Where did that come from?
Oh, gosh.
Obviously, Melissa. That's you, right?
That's me. From a very young age, I cooked. You know, my mom would have me cook and make meals for our family during the summer, especially when I wasn't so busy with school. And I came up with this. We had a restaurant in our bedroom, my sister and I. My dad built it for us.
Oh, wow.
It was really cool, a little kitchen.
Yeah.
And I'm like a seven-year-old girl, and I called it Melissa's Marvelous Morsels House of Food or something like that. I mean, it was crazy. But Morsels was in that original name.
Okay.
And I dropped the Marvelous. I dropped all these other names. But I just think that Morsels, it encompasses everything that I do, savory and sweet. We do all of our own desserts in-house with pastries, wedding cakes, anything like the cookies I brought today.
I've had the cookies. They're good.
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. So
actually too good.
Thank you. So these are tahini chocolate chip cookies. Fantastic. If you've never had something like that, it's sesame paste. You would never think to find that in a chocolate chip cookie, but it gives it a really nice toasted flavor that you wouldn't expect. But so Morsels is, when you're putting something really good in your mouth and you're going, oh, this is really good, a morsel.
Okay, cool, good, I like it. Bill, tell me about Hyperbaric PHP.
Well, Hyperbaric PHP was formed about 18 years ago, and the PHP wasn't on there.
Okay.
But that kind of came about later on when I started realizing that really in life it's about people helping people. So we changed the name to Hyperbaric PHP, People Helping People, trying to make a difference in the world, not only in our own personal lives, but in the lives of others in the medical field about different types of treatments, so to speak, that could help people with different conditions and diseases.
Okay. For those of us that aren't totally familiar with what hyperbaric is, why don't you tell us what exactly are you doing?
Well, I need about 4 or 5 hours, but
we got about 30 minutes.
But the short version of it is hyperbaric medicine is, a lot of people, when you ask people, they say, well, how long has hyperbaric medicine been around? And a lot of people say, well, 20 years maybe, 15 years, 30 years. And it's kind of amazing because one of the textbooks on my desk at the clinic is a textbook that's that has references about all kinds of information on hyperbaric medicine. And the first chapter says the history of hyperbaric medicine. Now go figure. When you open the first page, it shows this barrel-looking thing with some kind of Egyptian drawings on it. It dates back to 4500 BC.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so it kind of takes you through a history course of hyperbaric medicine about gases and oxygen and going into some type of cylinder. So in today's world, hyperbaric medicine has been used in our hospitals. A lot of us are familiar with it for different things like the bends or somebody that might have had a flesh-eating bacterial wound, or they might have been in a fire, a burn victim. But they didn't think about hyperbaric medicine for other types of conditions and diseases. And that's kind of where we've come into.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I were to walk into your clinic, what am I going to see? What am I going to experience?
Well, you're going to see this cylinder kind of deal. And it's like a big, what do you call it, a big sleeping bag of some sort.
Okay.
But it's very comfortable. You know, you actually get in this chamber, and it's very relaxing. People bring something to read, something to listen to, what have you. And they really, a lot of times, just take a nap. You know, women love what it does to their skin, the anti-aging benefits of it. So they're like hanging out inside the chamber, it falling off those wrinkles and stuff? But the reality is that hyperbaric medicine is very relaxing, very calming treatment to the whole human body. It's probably the, one of the only types of treatments or so that allows us to affect every single cell in the human body at one time from head to toe. And by doing that there, we have a lot of results. And we can talk about that in a moment or so.
Okay, cool. Well, let's jump back over to Melissa for a minute and let's talk about some yummy food.
Let's do that.
Tell us a little bit about your menus. What kind of ingredients are you using? What makes you special, you different?
We use all fresh ingredients, fresh herbs, and I use a French technique so with my sauces and my meat preparation. So it's very fresh to your palate. Nothing's really overcooked or anything like that. So on our menus,
okay.
One of my customers' favorite things is my pepper-seared filet.
Okay.
Filet mignon, just simply salt and pepper, throw it on the grill, and then I serve it with a great cherry wine sauce or with an au poivre, which is a pepper sauce. Lots of men love the au poivre sauce,
all right,
by the way. So very simple preparations. Keep it simple so that it's really palate forward. That's a big word, I guess.
Okay.
But really easy to eat, really yummy food. So all of our meats, and then we have lots of vegetable sides, great carrot sides with butter and apples and fresh thyme and grilled vegetables that we, so just lots of fresh,
okay,
fresh ingredients.
And is somebody coming to your place and you've already got it all prepared? What's the experience like? If I come to you and I said, hey, Melissa, I need you to cater a company event, what? Walk us through what that experience is.
Well, they tell me, do you want a buffet? Do you want it to be plated? Do you want a cocktail party? What kind of atmosphere do you want at the event? So we start there, and then we talk about what kind of food they want. So do you want it to be more chicken, or do you want a beef, or do you want seafood on your menu? And then I say, well, what are your favorite things? If you're planning this, let's talk
right
about your favorite things. And so that's where we build from. And so then once we know if it's plated or buffet or the cocktail, then I have all these menus, and my menus are very extensive. Through the years, I've done lots of research, and I can do any kind of ethnic menu that you need. We've done Asian, we've done Italian, French, Mexican. Mexican's one of my favorite cuisines, so
okay,
I can talk for hours on Mexican food. But Southern cuisine, I do lots and lots of Southern cuisine, great meatloaf and pot roast and barbecue of every kind you could imagine. So, and then with the cocktail menu, all of the things that we encompass on the buffets and the plated meals, we can make tiny, we can make small so that you can enjoy it a little bit of everything as you're, drinking a cocktail or just talking,
okay.
So.
Sounds to me like you have a a shell of what it could be, but you're also listening to the client and trying to understand what they want and what they're trying to get out of it. And I'm going to talk hockey just for a minute, or sports partnerships, because that's what I've done for
Absolutely.
Many years of my life. But that's kind of the approach I take, is I'll come talk to people and I'll say, you know, here's what I have, what makes sense to you, and then let's figure out how we can put this together in a package that you're going to enjoy. And it sounds to me like that's what you're doing, is you're making each opportunity unique to the individual or the company.
Absolutely. That's a great opportunity for us as a small catering company to talk to each individual client in detail of what they want and what they see for their event coming up. So we start, like I said, from the bottom up. We talk about what they want to see at their event, what kind of atmosphere they want. That's very important when their customer or their guests walk in the door. What do they want to present to them? What do they want them to experience? And so then you get the food going, and then you get the beverage going, and then you talk about, you know, how long is the event, and, you know, so everything. And we get to talk about their family and what this event means to them.
Right.
And
so
why are you having it? Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Even if it's in an office. I mean, why are you having the meeting? Why are you talking? What are you talking about? Does it need to be really casual? Does it need to be upscale? Does it, you know, it's very important. Any event.
Right.
I mean, even if it's just box lunches, you know, what you going to be talking about?
Right.
You know?
Okay.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And I guess I brought up the word personal in the conversation that we were having off air with Bill. You know, it sounded like, you know, relationships, some of these things that you're helping people with, it becomes very personal. And how do you keep it from getting too personal for you, I guess? Because you're sitting here talking about autism, and that affects my family. Like, I have some people in my family that are affected by autism. Tell me a little bit about some of the feelings you have as you're trying to help some of these families with some of these things that Hyperbaric can help them with.
You know, it's a great question. As I said, you know, it's such a simple concept, Hyperbaric medicine, and yet, you know, you could talk about it for 8 hours in lectures. But really, when the end of the day comes, when somebody is faced with a disease or a condition, such as cancer, or they've got a child that's on the spectrum of autism, or they've got like a 3-month-old baby that I just had in my clinic yesterday with a traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And no matter who the person is, how that affects every person in that family, how it affects siblings, how it affects the parents, how it affects the grandparents, not counting the child or the adult that's sick themselves. And, you know, we kind of go down, you know, what our doctors share with us, and it's not like we can challenge that very often. The doctor says, do this, and we say, okay. And then sometimes we realize that we're not getting results or there's nothing that's happening. And so when you start looking in things that, and you're going outside the box, so to speak, of what may be somewhat called traditional, we call that alternative medicine in some respect there, you have to do things on your own, and you have to research, and you have to pay for it on your own and stuff there. And that becomes a challenge for a lot of families. But at the end of the day, you know, what ends up happening is you're given hope. I mean, I can't overemphasize that. What I see in the clinic every day is that I get to see God's miracles every day. I get to see a child say its first word. I get to watch a stroke patient walk out of a wheelchair. I get to watch a cancer family survive and not die. And to give anybody some type of hope when they felt hopeless because maybe dad's been in a wheelchair for 10 years and everybody said there was nothing we can do. And I say, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know, if a stroke is caused from something simply as the lack of oxygen in the brain, what would happen if I got oxygen in the brain? In my autistic children or so, Dr. Carzanell and Dr. Buckley and myself did one of the first investigational studies in this country on autism and hyperbaric medicine, and were able to prove that we could cross the blood-brain barrier and deliver oxygen and blood flow to parts of the brain we couldn't get there before. And we could also affect the gut issues and decrease the inflammation in the gut lining. So, you know, hyperbaric medicine, the interesting thing is it's impossible, and I repeat it, it's impossible not to respond because it affects every single cell in the human body, which then makes up tissues, then makes up organs, and then we have a function. So whether we have a neurological disorder, whether we have an autoimmune disorder, whether we have cancer, it affects everything in the body at once in a positive way. So the biggest thing I would say is that, you know, I get to have you never get tired of this. It's kind of amazing that there's probably not one week that I don't have tears in my eyes at the clinic, because when you see this little baby like I was holding yesterday and the mom's just looking at me and says, he slept for the first night, period.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't – all the money in the world you can get, you can't give to me. When I hear from a mother saying my kid just said its first word, or my dad just stood up out of a wheelchair, I mean, what – that's the end of the day. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. I was going to say my original reason for asking that question is because I think I'd probably have a hard time every day not breaking down at some point and saying, that was pretty cool. You know, that was God's hand. That was something pretty special.
You know what, Scott, it's interesting you say that, but I'll tell you this. These families have made me a much better father.
Yeah.
They've made me a better grandfather, a better human being, because – you know, like most men and stuff, we try to hold our emotions in most of the time. And I was something like that, too. You know, shedding a tear for us was showing a sign of weakness, you know.
Right.
And it's actually quite the opposite. It's no, I get to share a tear.
My husband would say, weepers of the world unite.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. My wife
says,
yeah, exactly. My wife said, okay, what happened today? And, you just tell the story.
Right.
You don't have to make something up. You don't have to lie. You just say, listen, this is what happened today.
Yeah.
And you're giving hope to all families of all walks of life. Yeah,
that's great. That's neat. Yeah, I mean, maybe diving into a little bit more. You've kind of talked about some of the people that might use hyperbaric therapy, but what are obviously there are certain things that we all I think kind of have a clue of, which you were kind of talking about. But what are some other people that could benefit from your therapy?
You know, it's a good question, and I'm going to have to back up a little bit
because
if you don't understand how it works, then it's not going to make sense of why it would help so many different kinds of people, okay? So let's just backtrack a little bit. What is hyperbaric therapy, okay? It's a way to oxygenate the human body, an upgrade of oxygen in the human body. And so there's you're breathing about 21% oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere right now. Inside their chamber and stuff, you're breathing about 91 to 95%. And how we do that, we take the air that's in the room and it goes through a compressor. Those compressors have a HEPA filter on it that cleans the air out to 0.001 microns. So the air that goes in the chamber is as clean as would be if I was doing surgery in a surgical room. Then what happens is we have additional oxygen that's coming in through an oxygen concentrator. We wear a little mask and it kind of relaxes you and you just kind of chill out. But it's not about the oxygen. And that's where the confusion lies about hyperbaric medicine. It's about the pressure. So these portable chambers were originally invented for acute mountain sickness, a lack of oxygen at high altitudes causes the organs to shut down, and the last organ is the brain. And we get migraine headaches and cluster headaches. So there's a law in physics called Henry's Law that says if I take any gas and I put the gas under pressure, that gas will now dissolve in liquid. So the gas is oxygen, the pressure is the chamber, and the liquid is your blood. So if you could just imagine, our body's made of red and white blood cells. And if we're gonna change somebody's biological history, it doesn't matter what the condition is. We're going to change their history, autisms, cancer, brain injuries, whatever. We've got to go back to the very beginning of how it all started at. And that was at the cellular level to begin with.
Right.
So the cells make up the tissues make up organs, organs do function. So we're able to saturate the red blood cells 100%. Once the cells have been saturated, they can't hold any more oxygen. The oxygen has to go somewhere, and that's where the miracle happens, Scott. What it does is it allows us to bring oxygen into the plasma, our blood.
Okay.
And wherever that blood or liquid is going to the parts of our body, we're bringing oxygen and blood flow. So it decreases inflammation and increases blood flow. And the common denominator of all diseases and conditions is inflammation. Second of all, it's like a tsunami. It's like taking, if I were to take a cup of water right now and dump it on the table, the water is going to go everywhere. Well, that's what happens when oxygen put under pressure. It's going everywhere in our blood from head to toe. So people who have diabetes, okay, or they've got Raynaud's disease, they've got different issues that are going on from circulation problems. So they're going to all benefit, obviously. Second of all, the white blood cells are the good guys that are fighting bacteria and virus infection disease. So a couple of key things. When oxygen goes into cell, it forces toxins out. Oxygen in, toxins out. Second of all, the mitochondria, which is the engine of the cell, produces our energy. It's called ATP. So the more oxygen is available for the mitochondria, the more the mitochondria produces energy. This is why the athletes want to use it. They want it for more performance enhancement and more endurance and energy and stamina, which is no different than my stroke patients. They want to be able to walk further. They want to be able to go through rehab and do the rehab. Then you look at all your bacteria and viruses, and specifically cancer. Interesting enough, we had some really good old boys back in modern, or you know, in our history, and we kind of, you know, pushed them aside a little bit. One of those guys was a guy named Otto Warburg. Otto Warburg was a biochemist from Germany and did all his research on cancer. And what he proved was that we all have cancer cells. You have them, Scott. Melissa, you have them, and I have them. And they will come out in our lifetime 6 or 7 times in our lifetime. When they come out, if the immune system is strong enough, you'll never know it. But all of a sudden, maybe come in a time where there might have been a death in the family. It might have been an emotional disaster, what have you. And now the cancer cells start to come out, and we start seeing them duplicate. Now, next thing you know, we've got prostate cancer, breast cancer, what have you. Well, what Warburg said was this, actually pretty simple. He said that the primary cause of cancer is a lack of oxygen at the cellular level. And the true treatment for cancer was to saturate the human body with oxygen and to avoid further environmental conditions. 1930, he also said the cancer is fed by sugar and when the body's in an acidic environment. So it's not rocket science. If we take sugar away, put the body in an alkaline state, and flood it with oxygen, we're going to have a really good chance of, you know, giving ourselves a chance. The last part is the brain, and the brain is surrounded by fluid, cerebrospinal fluid. So that becomes the door that we didn't have before, Scott.
Yeah.
So we can open up this door that you know, a stroke patient had. And the neurons that didn't die, they just went dormant. They're called idling neurons or dormant brain cells. We're able to bring blood flow to that part of the brain, and all of a sudden we have a reaction. That reaction could be cognitive. It could be memory. It could be, you know, the guy opened his hand or walked out of a wheelchair. For example, one of my patients who was in a coma for 3 months and couldn't walk and couldn't talk was sitting in a wheelchair and just looked at you and drooled. And I told her, I said, Pam, we're coming. Just hang in there. And today you would never know Pam's any different than you and I. So the power is through the whole human body. And a lot of times our patients come in, and they're coming in for a specific reason, but they're going, you know, I slept a lot better last night. And that arthritis I had in my shoulder is not there. So the last part on it is that who uses it? Well, the first group of people are people who don't have life-threatening situations, but they have issues. They may have sleeping disorders. They may have migraine headaches and cluster headaches. They could have circulatory issues, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, skin disorders. Hell, if we can, you know, cure, you know, not cure, but if we can affect what happens to a burn victim, you know, that little bit of rosacea, a little acne or so on her face or so, that's easy stuff, Scotty.
Right.
Arthritis is huge because if I can decrease inflammation, I can decrease that pain that they're taking anti-inflammatories and, pain medications, et cetera. The second group is much more serious. Parkinson's, dementia, stroke, autism, multiple cirrhosis. The number one treatment for MS in Europe is hyperbaric medicine. All your
My
cancers.
Mom has MS.
Yeah?
Yeah,
bring her down to the clinic.
I'm going to talk to her about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what happens. We start talking about it, and then all of a sudden somebody said, yeah, I have a family member. Yeah, I have a family member. And so pre- and post-surgery, we want to have the best body going into a surgical procedure, and we also want to have the best ability to, you know, to just not have any complications at the end of the surgery, you know, bacteria or so. Diabetics. And the last group is the athletes who really are doing it for the same reason everybody else is. They want more endurance. They want more stamina. But they want to recover from their injuries much quicker.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I've been greatly educated today.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a short version, man. You okay? Yeah.
But so I'm always intrigued when I talk to people as to how did you get to where you are, right? How did you decide that this is what you wanted to do? And I still wish I kind of knew what I wanted to do when I grew up. I'm still trying to figure it out. But Melissa, tell me your story. How did you decide to do this? And you mentioned it a little bit earlier. You've been doing it for a while since you were 7. But you know, tell me what you went through to get to the point where you're at now.
Well, my story is a little interesting. Everybody said I should write a book, but I'll try to make it really short. But I cooked throughout my whole childhood. But I also am a singer.
Okay.
And I was winning vocal
competitions.
Yeah. Okay. But I was winning vocal competitions in high school. I started vocal lessons when I was 14 or 15. And then I loved this passion of cooking. And so everybody said, well, go for the singing while you're young. You can always fall back on cooking. So I had the choice of going into music or cooking, and I chose music. So that took me to New York. Long story short, I have an undergrad in musical theater, And then my master's in opera, and I sang with the Knoxville Opera Company as an apprentice for many years.
That's fun.
And that's how I started my professional career. I had a career for 10 years in the opera field. But meanwhile, while I was in New York, I was honing all my skills in my culinary career as well. And so on a rainy day, you would find me at Barnes & Noble reading, you know, cookbooks. And I was working for three of the top catering companies when I wasn't singing in an opera. And I would ask questions. I'm sure the chefs there, you know, I probably got on their nerves because I would say, well, why are you doing that? You know, how did you do this and how do you do that? And so I always tell people I went to the School of Hard Knocks for a culinary school.
All right.
So
no official schooling, just learning as you go.
Just as I went.
Cool.
And anyway, so I stayed in New York and I stopped singing. I became a private chef for two separate families, traveled around the world cooking for them. It was very exciting. And then my dad said, well, if you're not going to be singing, you can cook in Atlanta. So come home. So I came back in 2000, and I worked with Proof of the Pudding, and which is over at the Infinite Energy Center. Proof of the Pudding and Bold American and many really good companies here. As a chef and as a party coordinator, event coordinator. Meanwhile, I was doing events on my own and building my client base.
Okay.
And so in 2007, I was full-time Morsels by Melissa.
All right.
And I became the food director at Norcross First United Methodist Church. That gave me another opportunity to hone my southern cuisine and cook for about 200, 300 people every week, which was very exciting. And between that job and my catering company, I've arrived where I am, and I'm doing large corporate events and weddings and small dinner parties. We do just about anything. And that's where we are.
If you could pick an event, I don't know if you can, what was the coolest event that you've been able to be a part of?
Oh, my gosh. There's just so many. I love weddings.
Okay.
I love seeing a room transformed. And then the food is like the icing on the cake.
Right, okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I love we had one really great event down at the Pregnancy Center in Atlanta. You walked in the room, and you could tell that everybody had a passion for these girls.
Okay.
And the tables were beautiful. The food was great that night. There were lots of great testimonies and talking about their, you know, what they were representing. And I remember that event very well. But like I said, the weddings, the birthdays, the graduations, you could get to see families enjoying food and laughing and, you know,
I see some similarities between what the three of us do, right? Here's Bill over here, people helping people. He's seeing miracles happen. Here's you at very big life events, right? Weddings, birthdays, bar mitzvahs, whatever it is that you're doing. And here I am at sporting events, but I still get those same emotions, like when you know, there's a huge goal or a big score or just a huge crowd cheering, those same sort of internal emotions, like, I'm doing something good, right?
Yeah.
Something I've done today was good. And I think that's what keeps us all going on a daily basis.
Absolutely. It's about the instant gratification. It's about making somebody happy. It's about making their day.
Yeah.
And as a business owner, anybody, and you know, I mean, you're in the miracle business over there with the hyperbaric. But I'm also in the miracle business. You are
Absolutely.
Too. It's, you know, it's we're the little creating, things in
we're,
life.
We're creating things, life events, opportunities for people that they may not have had if they didn't come to you or come to a game or come to your facility for some life-changing event. So.
Absolutely.
Well, that's exactly true. And, Scott, the interesting thing is when we start working together rather than independently, for example, if I am able to get one of my autistic children to be able to be behavioral enough so they can go to a gladiator game.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
yeah,
someday they can start eating not only gluten-free, but they can have something once in a while. So you can see how everything just all it kind of comes in.
The circle of life, right?
It is.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Bill, I'll give you, as we get ready to part here, give us, you know, your last infomercial on hyperbaric PHP and why people should come there.
I just would have you open your heart and open your mind and realize that God's love is the ultimate healer. He is the ultimate healer, and that if you you know, if you're living, you're still living. So, you know, your loved one deserves the opportunity to get better, and so do you. And for all families that are out there, it's not to ever give up on hope, because what we may not understand today in medicine, tomorrow could be completely different. You know, if I was to say I was going to sail around the world in the 16th century, people would have all thought I was crazy. But we all found out that later on the earth was round. So what we may not have answers today, we may have answers tomorrow. So don't ever, ever give up. If you're sitting out there and you've got a family member that's sick and people are told there's nothing else we can do, come to our clinic. You know, you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. We give everybody a free visit so it doesn't cost them anything. We do free consults so it doesn't cost anything, because we want to make sure that all families are educated. And that's the best thing I could probably say, is that education gives you the power to make decisions that's best for your family.
Yeah. Great. Thanks, awesome. Bill. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Melissa, give us your last last plea for Melissa's Morsels by Melissa.
Last plea.
And tell us a little about your upcoming restaurant.
Okay. Well, for all you guys out there listening, if you want really great food with passion, with love, come to Morsels. We'll make sure your event is run very smoothly, that people will enjoy everything that they're eating, everything that they're hearing and seeing and experiencing. We are opening a restaurant up at Mala, Georgia. We don't have a name, so if anybody wants to throw a name into the hat, we've gotten lots of great suggestions. But we need to come up with that pretty soon. So, but we would love to see y'all come out. We're going to be looking to open up in February. Hopefully, let's keep our fingers crossed
fingers
and pray.
Crossed. Yeah, there you go.
Lots of praying going on. But yeah, so we can help you out with any kind of event that you have. You know, we'd love to celebrate those moments in your life with you.
Yeah, and I will personally attest to the good food that Melissa does create. She provided some for us at a game last weekend, and it was fantastic. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a pleasure.
I will give a little plug here to the Gladiators as we finish out the show. We've been talking about helping people a lot and creating memories and things like that. And I will say that coming up, our next home games are our Hockey Fights Cancer Weekend, November 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's a chance for us to give back to some of the organizations that are helping fight cancer. A couple of other exciting things that are taking place on the 17th is our Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Takeover, where the players will be wearing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle jerseys, which will be auctioned off after the game. It's also our first of many or few, I guess, three or four or $5 frenzies, which are always big events for us, where you can come to the game, you can purchase a $5 tumbler is what it is that's coming up on the 17th. So, again, thank you for coming, Bill. Thank you for coming, Melissa. And we'll wrap up the show. Thank you for joining us here on Power Play, the monthly radio show and podcast of the Atlanta Gladiators on Business Radio X. Be sure to join us on the first Wednesday of each month at 1 o'clock Eastern Time for the live broadcast of Power Play. Or you can listen to our show anytime you want, 24/7, by visiting businessradiox.com, search for Atlanta Gladiators, and all of our Power Play shows will pop up. To see our schedule and join us for a game this season, visit atlantagladiators.com. Until next time, I'm Scott Henrichsen with the Atlanta Gladiators, and this has been Power Play on Business Radio X.
Thank you for listening to the Power Play here on Business Radio X. Now be sure to check out the Atlanta Gladiators schedule on atlantagladiators.com.